Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we've come to this point where you have kosher food on your table, kosher utensils on your table. You know how to serve the meal on Shabbat. So now you can clean up the meal. Everything's amazing. Now is probably the most important part. What do you do during the meal? So we're going to talk about something that you should not be doing. And that is going to go beyond the meal. We're going to learn about the various laws of Loshon Hara, which literally means evil speech. Okay? And much of it will transcend beyond the Shabbos table, the application of it. So it'll probably take at least 2 weeks. I don't think we're going to finish all this in 1 week. And I'm happy to take any questions you have. But let's see the biblical source to this. It is in the book of Sefer Vayikra that says, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people." Lo selech rochil. You will not go as a gossiper. Another source says in Sefer Shmos, "Lo sisa shema shav. You shall not utter or accept a false report." These are the primary sources for not speaking Lashon Hara. So let's just start in a very general way. What is Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara is any form of speech or communication. Is that big enough for the font? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That may harm someone else emotionally, financially, physically, or damage their general reputation. Okay? In other words, anything that you wouldn't want to be upset about yourself, you should not be saying it about other people. The severity of Lashon Hara is so awesome that according to the Chafetz Chaim, that's Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, violating the prohibition of Lashon Hara entails transgressing at least 6 negative biblical commandments and at least 2 positive commandments. In his work, he goes on and says it's possible to impact on 31 separate commandments. So that's a big one. That's a big one. You do a lot of averos when you speak Lashon Hara. And you avoid many by not speaking it. The Talmud tells us that just like studying Torah is equal to all the other mitzvot, so is the sin of Lashon Hara equal to all the other sins. Okay? So if your person studies Torah and you think, wow, I'm really good, I've done something equal to all the mitzvot, but then if you turn around and talk Lashon Hara, you just canceled it out. And you see a very important thing. You see that there's nothing more important to a person than to study Torah. And therefore, Hashem, if you think about it, the gift of speech is an incredible gift. Because you don't have to think of how to talk. What I mean to say, God forbid if people get a stroke or they have aphasia where they don't know how to talk and they have to be trained to talk from scratch. And all those things that we just do happen so automatically aren't so automatic. And if you really think about it, so many different processes of the brain have to happen in order for you to speak. And you do them without even thinking. You know, your lips have to move. Your tongue has to move. Your palate has to move. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to realize that when you're talking, you're putting letters together and sounds together. And it all happens. Now you notice in your little babies or your little grandchildren how it doesn't come out so good in the beginning because they don't yet know how to do it. They're learning how to do it. But once you know it, we get the hang of it, it goes pretty easily. And the reason why, that's a gift from God so that you can learn Torah. If you can't talk, you can't learn Torah, you can't pray. There's so many things you cannot do. So Hashem has to make it easy for you to do it. That's a gift he gives us. Now, but on the other hand, if you take that amazing gift, that's probably the easiest thing you can do is to talk. Anything else, even to make dinner, takes more effort than to talk, right? So, but now if you take that great gift of speech and use it in such a harmful way, that gets God awfully upset. I didn't give you this special talents of the gift of gab just to do sins with it. So that's what gets Hashem so upset about the Lashon Hara that we speak. Okay, the Talmud says that people who speak Lashon Hara are included amongst those who are not permitted to greet the Shekhinah. then we'll never be able to come in contact with the Shekhinah because of the psychological damage that is expressed or represented through the speech of Lashon Hara, which maybe we'll talk more about as we go ahead. So this, just giving an idea, and at the end we'll talk about more things about how terrible this is. This is like the worst sin you can do. Now, it's interesting, only until rather recently, about 100 years ago or so, did the Chafetz Chaim collect all the various Talmudic teachings and place all these laws in a very neat package called the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. That was his nom de plume, where he got the name from, Shmirat HaLashon, where he codified it in a way, in a very precise way, so we can understand exactly what the laws are. And a lot of his work in the last 25 years has been popularized by the Chofetz Chaim Foundation that's in New York. They do those videos on Tisha B'Av, etc. So there's a lot of ways to learn about this. And Baruch Hashem, things are a lot better now than they were many, many years ago. People have much greater awareness of it. So let's get into it and start with some general guidelines and understand some terms. Number one, it's forbidden to speak about anything negative about a fellow Jew, even if it's true. First thing, maybe you don't know. But you say something bad about somebody, you say, you know, that's Lashon Hara. And the person says, but it's true. And we say, precisely. Because it's true, it is Lashon Hara. That is Lashon Hara. Literally, a Lashon is a tongue. Hara, that's bad. It's a bad tongue. When you say something bad about another Jew, that is true. Question?
Okay. Is somebody saying something about you, but can you clarify to others?
That you can deny it. I've had many people talk Lashon Hara about me in my life. That goes with being a rabbi, right? Not people here. People here are wonderful people. But other people have said that's part of being a rabbi. So what do I do? I deny it. If somebody says, Rabbi, someone says it. It's not true, but they said it. It's not true. Or if it is true, if it's something I did wrong, I'd have to apologize for it, but whatever. But you're asking if someone's lying about you?
Yes.
That's the next one. When communicating something false about another person, an even more severe sin is committed, that of motzi shemra, literally producing a bad name for someone else. When a person's lying about you, that's a separate aspect of the sin, which is more heinous. Not only are you saying something negative about the person, but the negative thing is not true. Question?
Yes. So he's saying negative things about you. Can you explain it to other people that this is not right?
Of course you can, because what you're doing is defending yourself. You're not talking Lashon Hara. You don't have to. Now, there's a way to defend yourself, a way not to defend yourself.
Yeah.
So they're going to say, Alwin, you know, everybody said that you stole $1 million from your company. So now there's two ways you're going to respond. One is the correct way, one is the incorrect way. The correct way is, that statement is not true. It's not true. I never did such a thing. There's nothing at all to those words. That you can stay. What you can't say, although you might say it without thinking, can say, that guy's a liar. Now, that might be true, but now you got stuck speaking Lashon Hara. He was saying Motzi Shemra. He was lying about you, but now when you say he's a liar, and it could very well be true, but a liar is not a very positive thing to say about someone. So don't say he's a liar. You could say he's lying, because that's a verb, right? He's not telling the truth. That's true. He's not telling the truth. Or better to say, the statement he is saying are incorrect. I don't know where he got that idea from. It's totally incorrect. I deny those accusations 100%. Okay, now, even though you figure, well, by implication, I'm calling him a liar. That's not my job. I'm not calling him. I'm saying the things that he is saying is not true. That's all. You can say, well, maybe he misunderstood, or maybe he must have made a mistake. He must have thought it's somebody else. He probably made an honest mistake, right? But that you definitely can defend yourself. Now, again, you know, what makes Lashon Hara so bad and why God really disdains Lashon Hara is because we know that the seal of God is truth. The seal of God is truth. So truth is meant to be said in a way that the truth will come out. Lashon Hara is really nasty because what it does is it takes the truth to distort reality. So let me give you an example that we all can readily understand without any problems. When the state of Israel has to defend their borders, okay, and the Arabs send all kinds of terrorists to go to the borders, right? But of course, what do they also do? They send a couple children in the front, right? And they make sure that as hard as Israeli soldiers are trying to avoid the children, these Arabs push the kids, do what they can, so the kids somehow get hurt. Right? We know that, right? So what happens, as much as Israeli soldiers try not to hurt them, but once in a while, they're going to hit a kid. Now, what does CNN, the fake news network, show every single time? They show one clip. They show a clip of an Israeli hurting a child. And then their famous fake journalists report that the Israelis have struck a child. And they interview the Minister of Defense. Do you deny that the Israeli gun struck the child? Yes or no? Don't say anything else. But I got just answer the question. Well, the film speaks for itself. Okay, now, what did they not do? They didn't give you all the background to everything that's going on. So what are they doing? They are taking the truth to make a bigger lie. You know, when you're lying and making something else up, it's not really that bad because it could be subject to denial. But when you're taking the truth and you're using that part of truth to, when you watch these political cartoons, they use the form of caricature. If somebody has a little bigger nose than the next guy, the caricature is his whole being is a nose, and he has this little body. And what are they doing? They're inflating the one thing that looks a little different and saying, but that's him, big nose, right? So what Lashon Hara does, especially when it's the truth, is you're saying something that is true, that really cannot be denied, but it's used to twist the truth. So you're taking God's seal of truth to distort the bigger truth. Or let's say you always have this, right? You can have a Jewish person who's a wonderful person. You had this with, what's his name? The guy that just broke him out of jail. Rubashkin. Rubashkin was a fine, upstanding Jew, human being, the Lech Hesed. Okay, he did something that wasn't 100% legal, but not the way the courts blew it out of proportion. No one's denying he did a certain type of crime, but it wasn't nearly as heinous as what they were getting him on. But that's all they were reporting, and that's who he is, a criminal. All right, the fact he's charitable, the fact he helps people, he did so many amazing things, we don't want to know about it. So it's a distortion of reality by use of the fact. And the person who's being attacked can't even defend himself because he can't deny the fact that's there. So this is what Hashem really disdains about this. So now if a person says something negative about somebody else, and it's especially true, the person's not in a position to defend himself from that, and the person wants to portray these other persons. That's who the whole person is. So that's why it's really a terrible thing, and Hashem is not happy with that. Okay, so that's telling the truth, and now they're both not allowed. But now we got a third category that I'm going to speak separately in a whole separate section called Rechilut. And that comes from the words of the Torah that I already quoted. Lo selech rachil ba'amecha. Don't be a talebearer in your nation. The word rachil or rochel literally means a peddler. A peddler goes from city to city, he sells his wares. You want to buy something, you want to sell something. So this guy, he peddles stories. He tells it from one person to another, such as, well, you know what such and such said about you? or you know what such and such said about such and such, and that's going to get back to you and will apply to you. So, and everything you're telling is the truth, and you're not even trying to denigrate somebody, as we'll give lots of examples in a special section. But this is good old-fashioned gossip, but true gossip. You know, for example, let's say you had a worker. And you tell him, you know, I heard that your worker was looking to leave the company. He was talking to me, and he told me he was thinking of it, but at the end of the day, he didn't. So now I'm going to tell it to you. So you didn't say any lies. I didn't even say anything bad about you. I was just saying the other guy was thinking of leaving the company, but he didn't at the end. After much thought, he decided to stay with the company. I heard him tell his friend. And I just want you to know you're his boss. I mean, unless there's something illegal going on over here, there's no need to have told him that he planned. And all you're going to do is create ill will between people. It's classic gossip. All right? So these are the three broad categories that fall under the large category of Lashon Hara. Now, certainly at a Shabbos table, you know, if people start talking about people, you know, you're going to get, you could unwittingly get yourself in big trouble, right? So, you know, they say there's three things you can talk about. The smartest people, they talk about ideas. Average people talk about events. And the lowest people talk about people. So it's better, you know, not to talk about people. It shouldn't be a thing of discussion unless it's necessary. But otherwise, you have to talk about things. Talk about ideas. Talk about Torah. Talk about things that are happening, events, but not personal events, as it were. So that's the better things to be talking about. So these are the items we have to worry about. Now, it's equally forbidden whether one volunteered or if one was asked for information where one will come to say Lashon Hara or Avak Lashon Hara. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Okay? So let's say a guy's needling you for some information that you know you shouldn't be telling. He says, you know, you could tell me, what did Chaim, I saw you talking to Chaim before. And I know you're talking about, what did Chaim say about me? And you're saying, oh, I don't remember. Well, you remember. Come on, tell me. And he starts nudging you. He's pressuring you. Okay? And then eventually, if you don't have a strong willpower, and the guy's making you feel terrible, he says, okay, this is what he said. You're still guilty. You know what it's like compared to, let's say the guy comes over to you, here, I just came back from McDonald's. Here's a good piece tray for meat. Come on, here, have it. No, I really don't want it. Come on, you're going to insult me? I'm having a piece of tray. Have it with me. You're my friend. I'm going to be forever insulted by you if you don't eat this tray piece of meat. What are you going to say? Well, he pressured me into it, so I'm going to do it. Well, no, that's just as wrong as that is. It's just as wrong to say Lashon Hara. Just as wrong. No matter what the pressure is, the same thing. All right? One should not listen even to one's father or rabbi to say Lashon Hara or Avak Lashon Hara. You know, let's say you're a student in school, and let's say a kid did something bad, and the teacher knows that you know about it, and the teacher says, tell me everything you know. Now, unless there's going to be very catastrophic results that can happen if this is not stopped. You understand what I'm saying? But if it's, you know, the kid went and did one of those childish pranks, you know, and really the teacher just wants to know so he can punish him, and you're the only one who has any means, you're not allowed to tell. You're not allowed to tell. Why? Because you're not allowed to tell something bad about somebody else. Right? Now, again, if he, let's say, created damage, and, you know, people need to give it back, okay, that might be different. But just to, because some, or your parents tell you to tell you, doesn't matter. You can't do any of those things. There are certain exceptions to the rule, but in general, you're not permitted to, no matter who asks you. Just like if your rabbi says he treif, or your father says he treif, you don't listen to them. You can't listen to speaking Lashon Hara. Even if taking upon oneself not to speak Lashon Hara will cause one to sustain financial loss, such as the loss of one's job. you must lose your job. Okay, that's as far as it goes. Because one is not allowed to transgress a negative commandment for money. You cannot do that, no matter what it is. Right? Just like, you know, if, let's say, I think we mentioned once, let's say your home was in the middle of the desert, not in a populated area like here, where other people's lives are in danger. What if your house is on fire on a Friday night, God forbid, and you're in the middle of the desert and you're the only house there? Then you got a choice. You could put out the fire or let the fire burn down your house. The halacha is you have to let it burn down your house. Now, if someone's life is in danger, it's a whole different story. Your life is in danger. That's why if there's a fire now in a populated area, you're allowed to put out the fire because other people could die. We're just talking about losing money. That's all it is. Losing money, you have to be willing to lose all your money and not transgress a sin. So the same thing over here. So if you got the employer is a very immoral person and he, you know, wants to find out information about certain workers, and really it's not that necessary for the growth of the company. It's not like somebody's stealing from him, right? But he wants you to tell me, and he says, if you don't tell me what that person said about, you don't tell me who's the guy that wrote the graffiti on the bathroom wall insulting me, you're fired. Then you have to say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to fire me. That is how far it goes. And some industries, it's very cutthroat. And the only way you progress in the industry is by doing Lashon Hara. You just can't. That's all there is to it. You have to lose your job. That's how important it is to do that. Even if it will cause one embarrassment not to say Lashon Hara, one may not say Lashon Hara. Now, obviously, sometimes it's very difficult situations. Needless to say, such a heroic moral stance is rewarded exponentially in line with the rabbi say, Lafum Tsara Agra. Based on the difficulty, so is the reward. So it's very hard not to speak Lashon Hara, you get a greater reward. Now, this prohibition includes any communication, whether it's verbalized, written, or simply implied in a silent manner. Let's say, for example, you're talking about Chaim. You go, yeah, he's a real smart guy, eh? I just gave a little wink there, right? That's already left. I didn't say anything. Oh, your body language said more than you can imagine. Just a little wink, winky. That is just as bad as saying the Lashon Hara itself. That's how far it goes. So no fool. You can't fool anybody here. Even if while saying Lashon Hara, one also degrades oneself, it's forbidden. Let's say, yeah, me and my friend, man, we did such a stupid thing. You know, we went to the beer store, and man, we got wasted, and we just took the car, and we just rammed it into another car, and we did all kinds of this and that. And the guy says, don't you know you're talking about Lashon Hara? Well, I'm saying it about myself, too. It doesn't matter. Even if you include yourself, that doesn't make it any less Lashon Hara about the other person, and even about oneself, we'll see. Really, one should not say Lashon Hara about oneself either. Okay? So that's the general guidelines. Any questions on that? No? We're good? Now, types of negative information. Information is considered negative and damaging, even what is said is true and accurate. The discussion may be of criminal or general misconduct, or of lackadaisical Jewish observance, relating either to interpersonal or general spiritual matters. One should not share, for example, that someone else does not give charity or keep kosher. Unless somebody says these people invited me to their house, which we'll discuss later if there's a real benefit to be gained. We'll talk about that shortly. But in general, you don't say these things. Now, it's very interesting. Defining what is considered negative can be very subjective. What you say about one person can be a compliment, and the very same words, if you say it about another person, can be an insult. For example, let's say you're talking about a family that's not very wealthy at all, and you know this, everyone knows they're struggling. And you say, you know, I just saw last week they gave a donation of $500. Now that would be looked at as a compliment. Wow, even though they're not making that much money, they stretched themselves and they gave $500 itself. Then you go talk about the richest person in the shul. you know, and everybody is giving what they can give, right? And the richest man in the shul, you know, he's giving $500. When you say that, what are you thinking behind that? You know, for such a rich guy, $500 is like nothing. Now, you didn't say it in a bad way. Well, you know, Mr. Richmond, he gave $500. You didn't even say he only gave $500. You just say, he gave $500. You hear? Mr. Richmond gave $500 to the shul, the annual campaign. When, you know, the average donation, let's say, is $1,000, let's just say. You know, and people like Richmond of giving $5, $10, $15. He gave $500. So that, by depth, I'm going to say, well, what did I say? I didn't say anything bad. I said he gave $500. I said he did a mitzvah. But it's relative. If everybody knows what your intention is by that, you can't fool Hashem and you can't fool anybody else. Okay, now comes the really hard part. Listening to Lashon Hara. So let's say, now we all know of people that we come in contact in our lives who, like, aren't so careful about speaking Lashon Hara. It could be family, it could be friends. Sometimes you invite them to your Shabbos table, and they're used to talking Lashon Hara. So you figure, well, you know, just like, let's say you go out to a restaurant, and your friend is eating not kosher, but you're eating kosher, right? You're at work, and you're at the cafeteria, you're eating kosher, your friend's saying kosher. Okay, he wants to eat treif. That's fine. It's his business. You want to eat kosher. It's fine. But that, you know, you can manage that. But now you're going to work, and you're going to lunch with coworkers, and now they're whipping out some really good Lashon Hara sandwiches. It's a sandwich, because they sandwich in between saying something good and something good, and then, that's like the little piece of bread. You know, like, oh, Chaim, he's a really nice guy, but after all, he is a nice guy. That's called your Lashon Hara sandwich. Okay? So, I really respect the guy, but whenever you hear that but, you already know that's the end of the game. So there's, now you figure, well, she says, oh, well, listen, he eats treif, so he's making himself a Lashon Hara sandwich. It's not my business. No, here's where it changes. When you listen, you are just as guilty, if not more guilty than that. And that's the next point. There's a biblical prohibition of believing any form, really should be listening, but we'll see what it means, any form of Lashon Hara, even if the subject of discussion is present and does not deny what's being said about him. That's a big statement here. Let's say there's the five of you at the table. Okay, but just for the sake of argument, okay, there's seven people at this table. If one of us says Lashon Hara about somebody else right at the table, five of you are listening. The one I'm saying to isn't denying it. And you're all going there and say, hey, Chaim, aren't you going to deny what he said? And, right? So all five of you are listening to, you're not, first of all, you shouldn't be listening to it, and you certainly shouldn't be believing it, even though the guy, well, he didn't even deny it, he's in front of him. Well, there's a lot of reason he may not deny it. Because if he denies it, the guy's going to come 10 times stronger at him. So somebody's got reason for denying it. Or even if it's true, it doesn't matter. You can't listen to it. The one who accepts Lashon Hara is worse than the one who says it. Why? I'm sorry?
Because you didn't stop.
The better reason. That's true, but it's a better reason. What's the better reason? Because did you ever see someone talk Lashon Hara to a wall?
Yeah.
Did you ever see someone go to a wall and say bad things about somebody? No. So you are providing his voice.
Yes.
He can't talk if you don't listen. Like, you know, it just doesn't happen. So let's say, again, you're at a kiddush, not here, or maybe someone from outside our shul is visiting and isn't aware of the laws. You're at a kiddush, and somebody, and you're schmoozing, and somebody is saying not nice things about somebody. Now, the only way it's going to stop is if you tell them to stop. That's right. You got to tell them to stop. Now, there's more diplomatic ways and less diplomatic ways on stuff. But you got to tell them to stop. It's not to say, well, it's not my fault. I didn't start the Lashon Hara. It doesn't matter. Somebody is speaking Lashon Hara. That is a crime is happening. And you are standing by and allowing that crime to happen. And you're giving him that venue to say it. you are now guilty, more guilty than him. Okay, so you're going to say, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, you've got three or four options, depending on the situation and depending how clever you are. Some people are more, what's the word? They're better at words than others and fast on their feet, but you always have something prepared. You have to practice this because when you're surprised, you know, the classic situation, you had a wedding or at a simcha, 10 people at the table, and somebody starts talking Lashon Hara. Now, usually in those situations, more than half of the people know that that person's talking Lashon Hara. They're feeling uncomfortable. They don't like hearing it, but nobody's got the guts to stop them because, for many reasons, could be that if that person doesn't like being told that they're wrong and they're going to attack you afterward, whatever's going to happen. So, but you've got to do something. You cannot. So now you're at your Shabbos table. I mean, I'm not saying at your Shabbos tables, but it's something that often happens at a shop. People are talking. Usually happens if people are staying too long. When you're running out of things to say. You sung the Zmiros, you said your Dvar Torahs, and now you're just talking. That's when it usually happens. But anyway, so somebody's right there. So what do you do? So there's a number of answers. Now the best thing to do, the most diplomatic, is to quickly switch the subject and hope that they don't. Well, did you hear about Chaim? Chaim was, that reminds me of Chaim, another Chaim. Well, I think you mentioned Chaim, Chaim Schnitzelface. He was, did you hear what happened with him yesterday? He got stuck in this and that and made a big issue. No, the guy was thinking about different Chaim. So they just steer it clear. Now that's the most diplomatic way to do it. Because you didn't tell me he can't speak Lashon Hara, and you're reducing conflict. Okay, but you got to be really clever and fast on your feet, and not everybody has that gift. Not everybody has that gift. Okay, so then the next thing you could say is, I'm really sorry, I love you dearly, but we don't talk about other people at our table. What are you talking about? It's important, you need to know this. I don't think I need to know this. Please, let's not talk about it. Now, some people, if they're a mensch, they will stop. But not everybody is. Because they were really looking forward to sharing this Lashon Hara, and you are spoiling their whole night. It's been sitting in their craw for like a day and a half, and they're waiting for this Shabbos meal. They could tell 10 people this juicy Lashon Hara. And you just stopped them dead in their tracks. So sometimes they're not going to take no for an answer. So there's another way. If it's the person you can't stop them, you could say, when they just start, can I go outside? I forgot something. Here, can I just go outside for a minute and talk to you? So everyone's going to think about something else. I say, I think you're about to start talking Lashon Hara. Really, don't talk about this at the table. And let's just forget about it. And you could try that. That's another option. You have to have guts, but the Torah requires you to have guts. Now, if all else fails, you tell them, this is a Lashon Hara discussion. I asked you kindly not to do it. You're going to talk about it. I'm leaving the table. And I'd suggest everybody else should leave the table as well. Now, I know everyone in this room, I know how like very soft natured you all are. And how painful it would be to do this because we would never hurt a fly, none of us over here. But you gotta snap that fly right there. That's a spider, You gotta do it. I mean, you don't got a choice. So that's why, usually it's good to have a low temperament, easy temperament. You're not gonna talk Lashon Hara. But then you gotta know you can't listen to it. You can't give the person that. What would you do? What would you do if somebody was taking your kid and beating him up? Would you just say, please stop? No, you go over him and beat the brains out of them. You do something. Well, it's the same thing. They're beating another Jew up verbally, and you just can't stand listening to that. If it's impossible for you to leave, let's say you're in an airplane, and then don't unfasten your seatbelt signs up, and this guy says, I don't want to hear it, So then this is what you do. You put your fingers in your ear and say, blah, 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 blah. I'm not listening to your Lashon Hara. So those are all the various options. Some you look more foolish than in others. But the Talmud says, better to look like a fool in the eyes of the entire world for your entire lifetime than to be viewed as a wicked person for one moment in the eyes of Hashem. So when you listen to Lashon Hara for one moment, God considers you a wicked person. Now, he's not fully blaming you because you didn't start it, but you should have stopped it. So that's very serious. Now, however, let's go to one more. So you have to really, you have to be a little careful who you invite to your Shabbos tables. You know, because if there's certain people who have a tendency, and unfortunately, I don't mean to discredit people, but unfortunately, many secular people, they think they really, because of the social media, they really believe that saying Lashon Hara is a mitzvah. No, they do. They believe this is full disclosure. It's the truth. People need to know this. It's news. And they really don't understand what you're talking about. So either privately you have to have a discussion with this person, say, you know, this is not, I want to talk to you about gossip. Do you think it's really a good thing? Whatever, it'd be a separate discussion. But if you have got friends or relatives, usually this is relatives that you usually have to invite. You don't have a choice. Friends, you have a choice. Relatives, it's the Pesach Seder. You got to invite your sisters, your brothers, your brother-in-law, your mother-in-law, all the in-laws, the outlaws. Everyone's got invited. And some of them are really, and the only thing they know how to talk about is Lashon Hara. So it's got to be very careful how you deal with this. But so it's better, if at all possible, not to invite these people to avoid this conflict. But if you don't have a choice, you have to tell people in advance, you know, we're having to get together, and I don't want to talk about people. I don't, you know, I just don't want that to happen. I mean, you know, everyone needs to ask their own questions, but that's part of what's important. Now, there's an interesting point, though, point three. Even if Lashon Hara is said for constructive purposes, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and within the guidelines of what is allowed to be said, sometimes it's allowed to be said. Let's say the person is telling you something that you should, it's telling you, be careful about this person. You know, you're about to get into a business deal with this guy, you should be careful with this guy. He's a criminal. Okay, now, but let's say he doesn't have, like, real proof, you know. If he has, like, documented proof, he just whips out the New York Times from and every major periodical that said he was shipped off to jail for 20 years for assault and this and that. Okay, well, that's, like, fact. There's nothing to discuss. But then the guy's telling you, you know, this is what's going on over here. So the listener may not wholeheartedly believe what is being said, but may only take precautions in dealing with the person about whom they have heard negative information. In other words, the guy told you, listen, I think you need to know this. I think it's for your own welfare to know this. Now, even though the guy is telling you this, but so you can't believe what he's saying is absolutely true because he's not a court of law. But you can be, as they say, take precautions. So the precaution could be whatever precaution is. But you can't treat that person differently than you would otherwise. What do I mean? Let's say this is a guy that usually, you know, say good morning to every day. A guy in the office, whatever. And you're friendly with the guy. Now they told you something that this guy may try to do something that may not be good. Or what if he told you, you know what the guy's saying behind your back? You know what the guy's saying behind your back? So now, next time you look at him, you go, you know, doing bad body language. Can't do that. Can't do that. You can take whatever precautions you need. Like, you don't have to lend him out your brand new car. You know, you don't have to lend him a lot of money. All of a sudden, he's asking to borrow a lot of money. You don't have to do that. But you still have to treat him respectfully. So you just take precautions. But you don't totally believe this information. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. I recently saw an interesting statement by Rav Moshe Sternbach, who should live long and well. He takes a little bit of issue with this, and it's a little bit more lenient. He says that humans are incapable of such control, and therefore explains that the prohibition of accepting Lashon Hara is only to have one's behavior toward the subject change as a consequence of having heard it. The mental acceptance, however, is permitted. He's a little bit more lenient. He says, it's almost impossible to ask a person not to believe it. So maybe you could believe it, but you still, your behavior towards the person still should not change. You follow? So if the guy said, you know what that guy said behind your back? Okay, so now if there's something I need to know. And maybe I got to assume it's true. Maybe. It's hard for one not to want to protect oneself. But still, your behavior shouldn't change because of that. You follow what's going on over here? Right? In addition, even if one has resolved not to believe Lashon Hara might hear, it is still forbidden to continue listening to such a conversation. Once you can say, that's enough. You don't have to tell me anymore. But then there's more details. No, I don't need to. And you have no idea how often this happens in life, you know, where, you know, sometimes you find out about it, like, so fast you couldn't stop it, you know. Like, usually you have to be on guard. You have to learn to get, as they say, a nose for Lashon Hara. You got to sniff it out. You see, the problem is, Rabbi, what do I do? By the time I realize what happened, they already said it. So if you know the laws, then you know people, you know how they kind of meander their way into the Lashon Hara. It very rarely a person says, hi, Rabbi, here's some juicy Lashon Hara I'd like to tell you. Then you can say, stop. They don't start that way. You know, there's ways that, you won't believe what my boss said at work. Then you say, no, I don't want to hear. You know, then, you know, you can see, oh, it's coming. I don't want to. I know you've had a tough day. I don't want to hear it. Right? But what happens if it got, you were just not so on guard, and it's just, I can't believe that that guy tried to break up your son's shidduch. Like, whoa, I didn't have a chance to even stop him. They just went, what? And they just, and yeah, I just heard they went and they tried to break the shidduch. They went to rabbis, what? Then you caught up. Like, you know, wait a minute, I don't want to. They really did that? No, I don't want to hear that. So that's very hard. That's very hard, you know, that when you now know that the Schwartzes, who you thought were your friends, now they're always in front of your face, they're smiling, is that? And they went to so many people to break up your child's shidduch for that. Now you're going to see them at the kiddush. You want to kill them. First of all, you're disinviting them to the wedding. Right? But you're supposed to say, well, take whatever precautions have to be made. Maybe you need to call the other side and say, you know, I don't know, but if there's some people, you know, there's all kinds of crazy people in this world, or people that you think aren't crazy, but they're crazy. So, but you got to be, but still, you're not allowed to really accept it 100%. Your behavior still has to be impeccable. Which is harder. That's why it's always better not to listen to this. But that's how far it goes. Now we come to permitted forms of saying Lashon Hara. What does that mean? It's a bad way of writing it, but it's the point. If you're allowed to say it, it's not Lashon Hara. If you're allowed to say it, it's not. So I shouldn't say permitted forms of saying Lashon Hara. That means to say, well, it's Lashon Hara, but you could say it. Yeah. I mean, in other words, it's really not Lashon Hara, it's Lashon Tav. Tov, which means, and this is the buzzword we say when in Hebrew, it is letoelet, for a genuine constructive purpose. You need to know about this. It's important that you know about this, because otherwise some terrible things could happen to you. Okay? Let's just say, for example, your child just got engaged to somebody, and it's an amazing shidduch. And somebody goes over and says, Chaim, I need to talk to you about your future in-laws. I mean, I just want, you know, they're from out of town. You know, they're from halfway across the ocean. You don't know what kind of criminals they are. You know what they did to the last three in-laws? How much money they stole from them? And this and that, and you don't realize how you're being set up. Now that's something, if it's true, you definitely have to tell that. You can't say, oh, I didn't want to tell. Why didn't you? You know, that then what happens? The friend knows about it, the friend says, I can't tell, it's Lashon Hara. Then 6 months later, they get married, and yeah, those outlaws, they went and took $500,000 of yours. And then your friend, why didn't you tell? Oh, it was Lashon Hara, I couldn't tell you. No. You know, that there's a time where you must say the worst possible information, when it is genuinely constructive to help somebody avoid a disaster. You must do that. But there's seven conditions to it, which basically means I'm going to take all the fun out of doing it. You know, some people say, hey, this is great. For the last 50 years, I haven't said a word, and I've been dying to say so much more. But I can't. It's in the favor. But now I got a great chance I could do. I'm going to enjoy every minute of this because God's letting me know that it's only can be done in a way that you're not happy doing it, you see, then we're sincere. So this is, it's only permitted for strictly constructive purposes, even then everyone is required to ensure that he is saying what he is saying meets a criteria of 7 conditions. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know that, or at least know what page to look it up on, because when it's something that you think might be constructive, you have to make sure that all 7 conditions are met. So let's go through them all. This, you have to really memorize, if not memorize it, know which page in your notes that you can go back and refer back to understand. Number one, the one saying Lashar has either personally witnessed or has corroborated that which he is saying with certainty. So you, a good friend, you know that the Hickenlooper family in Australia has a notorious record of messing up their in-laws big time. How do you know about it? Well, I've heard about it. Well, that's not good enough. You heard about it. Have you verified it? Yes, you know, I heard about it, and then I called the rabbi in Australia, and I asked about these people, and I said, is it true that they've messed up their last 4 people? Do you know it? He says, yes, matter of fact, the rabbi now is telling me, I have firsthand evidence how they've destroyed 4 families. You know it is for sure a fact. Now, that's very important, because a lot of times you think, well, somebody told me. That's not good enough. You have to either have seen it yourself, or it's undeniable. You've researched it. You've corroborated. You called all 4 of the in-laws, the previous ones, who all tell you the same story. And this is how they did it. They first tell you there's an amazing property in Florida, and they're going to share it with you to get the condo. But they're a little short of cash, and they have the same M.O., All 4 times, and everyone says, and you have bank statements. I mean, it's, you know it. Okay, that's number one, because quite often you get caught up and you really are mistaken. So you got to be absolutely sure it's true. 1. 2. One is sure the offense committed is in fact wrong, and not just has the appearance of being a problem. You know, you saw that the Hickenloopers, they don't get along with their in-laws. But you don't know anything more than that. Well, it looks bad, but you're not exactly sure. So you have to know for sure what they did was wrong. Maybe it's not wrong. 3, before witnessing the negative activity, one has to have attempted to highlight the wrongdoing to the person being spoken about and have encouraged him to reconsider and change his behavior. You have to call the Hickenloopers and say, you know what, I heard you getting married to his family. I heard you doing a lot of things. Are you going to do things differently in this situation? Oh, it never happened. What do you mean? I just spoke to a lot of people. They all told me it happens. No. So if there's a way that you can stop it without telling the other family, if you have a way of ensuring that nothing, you can take care of the problem without anybody knowing about it, you do that. But only if you can't solve it any other way, that becomes the third one. 4, one may not exaggerate that which he is retelling in any way whatsoever. So a lot of times we tell a story, we tend to let it stretch a little bit. You can only say exactly the fact. You can't say, well, they messed up 4 families, and I hear they messed up many more. Wait, don't give me that, I hear they messed up many more. Just leave it at that what you know. Just, you know, there was a TV show when I was a little kid called Dragnet. It was two cops, and they were investigators. So I think one was... his name was Friday. It was a really old one. So one of the guys, I think it was Bill Webb. I don't know. I may have his name wrong. Anyway, so this guy would always say, the lady's talking, and the guy comes to the crime scene. Something would happen, ma'am. Well, he's a... Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts, ma'am. I remember that line. It was just the facts, ma'am. And that's the same thing here. You only want the facts. Nothing more. Don't exaggerate. Exactly. You could tell exactly and not more. 5, he who relays negative information may only do so with a constructive modus, and here's the critical point, and not based on any hatred toward or thrill from speaking about the subject. And I never liked Hickenlooper. Ever since he beat me, you know, in a past business deal, I always was waiting for the chance to get him back because I knew he was a funny guy. Now I can really see him, you know, call him on the carpet from that. I get a lot of satisfaction. Even though it's 100% true, but if you're enjoying it that much, that's not good for your neshama. What do you do? Let somebody else do who doesn't enjoy it so much. Well, you're supposed to let this unassuming family get ripped off? No, it's a problem. But you can't be the one to tell them because you're enjoying it too much. So call up your rabbi. Let's say, rabbi, somebody's got to tell this family. They're going to get set up for a terrible fall here. But I can't do it because I just enjoy telling it so much. I can't do that. Right? And that really is a big one there. 6, there must be no other way in which to achieve whatever constructive purposes saying the Lashon Hara will accomplish. If there's any other way to get out of it, maybe really this shidduch should be broken. Maybe it should. Maybe it really, you think about it, this is not going to work. So just, find a way to break the shidduch without telling them that the other people are criminals. If you can do that. I'm just giving you a possible example. And 7, even if all other criteria are fulfilled, one still may not say Lashon Hara if the damage caused to the person discussed will be greater than can be justified by the shortcoming in question. In other words, if the guilty people by Utah will suffer more punishment than they should get. Let's say, if people will find out about it, everyone's going to come to their house and beat them up. Let's say the person you're telling is not a very calm person. So if you're going to tell the future in-laws that this guy's trying to rip him up, he has connections with the mafia. He doesn't get mad, he gets even. Right? So what you want to happen is, let's just break the shidduch and finish. That's what should happen. Break the shidduch, you give the ring back, you give the watch back, and that'd be nice. No. He has friends of the mafia. The guy's going to go and break those guys' legs. Well, now that guy's getting punished more than he deserves to get punished for that situation. He's supposed to get punished in a certain way, whatever would be proper. But if you know the guy, even though it's a guy is a bad guy, but you can't make him suffer worse than he should suffer from this. So therefore, there's a lot of situations. So you need these 7 conditions, and the times that I've found people, doing things behind my back to hurt me because they were trying to tell people that it was for their best interest, I know that they did not have those 7 conditions being met. Just let it go. But anyway, but it's very hard. It has to be done. There are times when it has to be done. And even though you have to go through all 7 conditions, maybe you don't do it, but somebody else has to do it. So, and it happens. Like, let's say you have a good friend's getting married and it's not a good idea. You're smelling out a rat. And then you've got to maybe do a little research till you find out, do you know that the bride to be, she's had a lot of psychiatric problems. She's one of those, flippers. They can act normal, splitters that act normal in front of people, and all of a sudden they turn the other way. But you wouldn't know about it till so. So you've got to stop it, but you have to do it within the realm of halacha. You see, so you don't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Everyone clear on that? On the listener's part, okay, now you went and told the person, you better be careful. He or she may only act protectively as a result of negative information heard. However, one may not accept information heard as fact and constantly express disdain and animosity towards the subject, but only take precautionary measures as needed. Okay, well, my example is going to have to be a little bit more than precautionary measures. You're going to have to sit down and speak with these people. Or whatever has to be done. Okay, now, if someone sees another Jew sin and he believes that it would be more effective for his father or Rebbe to rebuke him than if he were to do so himself, let's say I see someone doing something wrong, and really, I should go to the person and tell him he's doing something wrong. But I know he's not going to listen to me. But I know he respects his father a lot. He respects his rabbi a lot. So if I just on the QT tell the rabbi or the father, I really hate to tell you this, but so-and-so is doing this, I think you could handle it much better than I could. You could do that. And really, this is where, for example, this week's Parsha, Joseph and the brothers, where we find that Joseph tells on his brothers on a number of occasions. So we say, how could it be that Joseph tells on his brothers? And the answer is, one of the answers is, that Joseph understood. He was the youngest of all the brothers. If he's going to tell his brothers off, they're not going to listen to him. So therefore, he told his father so that the father would speak to them and they'd listen to the father. That was his intention. But unfortunately, it didn't work out. But that is the better way to do it. Okay, now, other permitted forms of eliciting Lashon Hara. Now, this is a very interesting one. Let's say if one is looking to engage another party, whether it be for a business partnership or family relationship, for example. Let's say I'm seriously thinking of becoming a partner with another guy in business, and it's getting to a very close stage. Or, I'm looking to get engaged to somebody, or my child is going to get engaged to somebody else's child. And it's moving ahead. It's not a first date. You know, they've been going out for 6 months, and it's pretty close they're going to announce an engagement. Okay, that's what we're talking about over here. Okay, and is at a stage where it's appropriate to research someone else's background, reputation, or character. At this point, I had a few conversations that looked good, and now really it's going on to a more critical stage. I'm going to start seriously talking about being partners, or seriously talking about getting married, or whatever we plan on doing, or hiring someone for a job. Something is being negotiated in one form or another. So now I want to know something about that partner. I don't know everything about the partner. So sometimes you have an opening meeting just if you get along, sometimes you need a lot of meetings, right? But then it gets to the point where, I really seriously considering getting involved with this other person in whatever capacity. At this point, but I don't even know who this person is. And I can't leave myself vulnerable. And that's absolutely true. So at this point, you're permitted to inquire and obtain relevant information that might otherwise be considered Lashon Hara. So, there's nothing wrong when someone's going out. Okay, let's go in the religious world where the parents are a little bit more involved and they help check out the other family or whatever. Or in any business situation, you could ask people that have been involved in the past, and you can ask them pointed questions and expect pointed answers, where if they would just be saying it randomly for no reason, that would clearly be Lashon Hara. So let's just say, for example, you're going to be a partner with this guy, right? And it's getting really close. So now you have to do some due diligence. This is what it is, due diligence. So what are you going to do? So you found in the course of the conversation that this guy was involved with some other partners in the past. And for whatever reason, the partnerships, terminated. Now, a lot of partnerships can terminate for all kinds of reasons. They could terminate for good reasons. Yeah. They could terminate for a lot. You could be two good men and they work with women together and the business didn't work out. It's bad mazel, So you're allowed to ask the person pointed questions. Did you find him a good partner to work with? Did you find he had a good work ethic? Do you find that he... whatever. Now, normally, I just can't go to a guy. I have no business. I say, oh, I see you guys are partners. Can you tell me if he's a good partner? Well, what is your business? Well, just tell me. I'm just interested to know. No, get out of here. It's none of your business. Good or bad. It's not my. It's not. Now, if you would say then things, that would clearly be Lashon Hara. If you say, so you want to be a partner with him? You're serious now? Is it that close now? Yeah, I think a couple of weeks I'm going to start. I'm going to put in $500,000. I'm going to invest this. So is there anything I need to know? Well, ask me some questions. Well, how honest is the guy? Okay, well, I'll tell you. 3 or 4 times he lied to me straight out. Especially when it involved funds that were missing. Now, normally he couldn't say that to somebody. But if this is now because the guy needs to know if he is to do a business thing with him, or the guy says, I'm really particular. I don't like guys who swear all the time. I hate it. That's why I have my own business. Does this guy like hold his tongue or he swear? Oh, he swears a lot. Okay, well now, what's the reason not to say it? No, that's, but again, you're not getting enjoyment of it, but that has to be told. Or whatever else, you know. I'm going to get engaged to this girl soon. Do you know if she has any mental health issues? As a matter of fact, I know for a fact she had 3 breakdowns in the last 4 years. Well, that's an important thing to know, right? Anything that, you know, would... Now, again, you have to understand, you know, there are things and there are things, you know. Well, anything terrible about this woman? Well, I saw her once pick her nose. No, I don't think that's something you would have to share. You know, like, that's not going to be the end of the world that, you know, they did it once. You know, you just don't pick anything that they've done incorrectly. But then about something significant, you know. You know, I've been going with this girl, and she says she's 23. I can't believe it. Do you know how old she is? 38. Okay, you know, okay, she put a lot of makeup on, but I don't want to, I'm only 26. I don't want to marry a girl 38. Well, I mean, you need to know that. That's kind of important. So things that are, well, you know, do you know if they have any health issues? Yeah, as a matter of fact, she has a family history of heart disease, and all her parents, grandparents have all died by 42 from heart disease. They need to know that because they might not want to marry a person like that. Those are relevant facts. Let's put it this way. Would you want to get into that business or to that relationship if you would know that? Would you want people to tell you about that? All right? So other things, you know, tell me, this man I'm looking to marry, does he have a temper? Well, only when he's sober. Right? Remember that Fiddler on the Roof? Right? Only when he's sober, what does that mean? Well, most of the time he's drunk, but when he's sober, he's got a real temper. So, okay, I don't want that. All right? So those are things that that you're in touch, but that's only as things are progressing. So let's say in the initial stages, you know, not every piece of information is told. I mean, some things you would tell right away, like I think if he has a terrible temper and beats people, you'd want to know that from day one. But generally, you understand what we're talking about. This is necessary information. Now, point two, one does not have license to obtain any negative information unless it is really relevant and necessary to the potential partnership. So even when the impetus for the fact-finding is justified, one is very much obligated to disclose his reason for asking the negative information. You can't just say, oh, hi, I knew you used to work for so-and-so. What kind of a partner was he? So I say, why do you need to know that? I was just curious. No, so I'm not going to tell you. You have to be upfront. I'm thinking of making a partnership with him, so I'm therefore asking you the following question. So like people call me up about people, young people in the community, you know, they ask shidduch questions. What do you know about the girl? What do you know about the family? But they're calling and said, well, somebody has brought up this woman as this girl as a potential shidduch. I'm calling up to find out information to know if my son should go out with her. Okay, then I know they're asking for legitimate reasons, so I will tell them, you know, but only certain things, you know. I still can't tell them every single thing. I can't tell them that I saw the guy pick his nose once. No, I can't do that. You know, certainly I'm never allowed to tell if they're really not relevant. Even if, whatever. Okay, so that's why. Because the person answering doesn't relate information with the wrong intention. If the guy doesn't know it's for a prospective client, then you just ask me to say Lashon Hara, and I'm paying Lashon Hara. That's not a good thing. Okay. Additional safeguards. Now, this is the clear... Okay, now, certain forms of speech are not intrinsically prohibited, but are nonetheless instituted rabbinically as safeguards to protect people from speaking Lashon Hara. And this is called Avak Lashon Hara. Avak Lashon Hara literally means the dust of Lashon Hara. What does that mean? You'll see in a minute. For, you know, dust, if the house is dusty, is it dirty? It's not dirty, it's dusty, you know. If you don't clean, it's not dirty, but it doesn't look so nice, it's dusty. So it's like smells of Lashon Hara, but it's not exactly Lashon Hara. For example, one is not allowed to say, who would believe that he would turn out so well? Now, that's not bad, but what's that implying? That guy's history must have been terrible. I didn't say that. I just said, who would have thought he would have turned out so well? Well, but the implication is pretty strong. Or, oh, let's not discuss him, because I don't want to say what he did.
Oh.
You know, let's not talk about it, because we don't want to talk Lashon Hara. Yeah. Now, you didn't say Lashon Hara, but yeah, obviously there's something to say about the guy.
I don't want to
talk. Right? You follow? Yeah, let's not talk about him. You could say I don't talk about people. Let's say you know the Lusher brought him, but you just don't want to hear any Lashon Hara. So say, you know, let's not talk about people. When we talk about people that could come onto Lashon Hara, then I haven't cast aspersions on that guy. But we say, let's not talk about him so we don't say Lashon Hara, then that's worse. Mm-hmm. Also, one may not talk about others in a positive way if doing so will cause the subject suffering or other problems, such as highlighting someone's extraordinary generosity, as the donor may then be overwhelmed from all the unsolicited attention. Oh, man, Mr. Schwartz, he's the most generous guy I know. He'll do anything for everybody. And all these unsavory characters are hearing that and they're ready to knock on his door, you know. He didn't say anything bad, but you're causing the guy problems by saying good things. Okay, so I think this is a good place to stop for today. We did 5 pages, and how many we got to do? Whoa! 13. 12 and a half. So we definitely need one more week. Made a good start over here, so we should all be successful in guarding what comes out of our mouth and what we hear.